I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Tarek Leslie joins me again. The artistic director of Ensemble Theatre Company will preview their forthcoming 7th annual Summer Repertory Festival. There are numerous events, including three productions, A Drawer Boy by Michael Healy, Garson Kanin's Born Yesterday, and Superior Donuts by Tracy Letts. I'll ask Tarek about these plays, the themes therein, and how those themes resonate to our times. There are also a number of events taking place around the Jericho Arts Center that I'll get Mr. Leslie to tell us about. The Summer Repertory Festival begins the 10th of July to the 16th of August. Visit EnsembleTheatreCompany.ca for tickets and information. Tarek Leslie is a graduate of the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. He was a member of the Shaw Festival's Acting Ensemble and co-founded the Ensemble Theatre Company in 1998 and its sole artistic director since 2011. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, Tarek Leslie. Mr. Leslie, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Pretty good yourself.
Good, thanks. Good.
It's the 12th season this year?
No. It does feel like it sometimes. We're doing our seventh season of doing the summer theater festival.
The summer Arts Center.
Yeah.
And then it's been more than 20, hasn't it, for the company itself?
That's true. Yeah, it had its origins in 1998 in Victoria, British Columbia.
Yeah.
And we migrated over here in the early 2000s. Started producing then.
Well, what strikes me as I'm reading about this upcoming season, the seventh season of the Summer Repertory Theater, is just how important the theater is nowadays, theater and art especially, nowadays, especially when, you know, the politics is so consumed us in a negative way.
Yeah.
That's what we need, isn't it?
I think it's really important. You know, it does seem we have a bit of a resurgence of intolerance and, you know, some kind of unjustified and inexplicable hatred and, you know, for the other, and telling stories about, you know, who we are as human beings and where we've come from, where we're going to, and, you know, where we presently are. I think those are important things. I sort of view theater as a bit of a, you know, conduit for empathy.
Mm.
You know, when you sit in that theater, you're having that shared experience with an audience in front of something that's live right before you. That's, you know, there are a few experiences like that media wise these days. I mean, you do have that with a film, but not with a live performance going on in front of you. And even music, while fantastic, going to concerts and things, it's still not quite the same type of engagement.
Yeah, and you're someone who's worked in film and television as well as theater.
I have, yes.
Yeah. As a performer, as an actor, I guess it's a different thing altogether when you're working in front of a live audience, right? Despite, I mean, if you could have, you know, dozens of people around as crew, say, as opposed to an audience itself.
That's absolutely true. I mean, you are, apart from, you know, if you happen to have a scene partner in what you're doing on a TV show, I mean, it's very much, you know, you're acting into a bit of a vacuum, and you don't really get any sense of how an audience is going to respond to it. I mean, you know, during the rehearsal process in theater, you still are, you know, making your best guess, your hunch on how an audience is going to respond. But yeah, with a film or a TV series, you can only judge by online commentary or perhaps if you're lucky enough to go to a premiere screening or something,
mm-hmm.
how an audience is going to judge. But very often, you know, particularly if you get into blockbuster realms, you know, the level of secrecy around those means that the very way in which they're shot sometimes means that some of the actors in the films aren't even 100% sure until they see the finished product.
Yeah.
What the full scope and nature of the film is they were in.
So to the three shows that are part of this season, I was looking at each of them and they are all very timely in a way. And I guess you as the producer, you all have put thought into, I guess, the plays that you're staging.
Yes, we have an artistic ex- executive made up of a handful of the people that have, you know, are kind of viewed as definitive ensemble members. And we read the plays, and we get together and we discuss them. And, you know, out of a list of about 20 plays that we read last year, myself, Alexis Kellum-Creer, and Alan Brody arrived at the three plays that we've got this year. And very much for sort of both the strength as a play, and then, you know, we don't necessarily look for something that's immediately topical. It's more we look at the strength of the script,
right?
And then try to see does it have anything topical to say? And both, well, really all three, but in particular, Superior Donuts and Born Yesterday have a lot to say about the world we're currently living in.
Right. You mentioned Born Yesterday. I mean, I've talked to actors over the years who say that's the funniest play.
It's a great comedy, and I almost think of it as we probably discussed a bit last year because we were doing A Few Good Men. Uh-huh. I really love Aaron Sorkin's writing, and I mean, Garson Cannon doesn't need to be compared to anybody, but because he was a very strong writer in his own right, along with his wife, Ruth Gordon.
Uh-huh.
But it's the overall tone of Born Yesterday is really kind of almost proto Sorkin. It's because it's a little bit of comedy, but there's some undoubtedly dramatic things in there that are not funny at all, purposely so. And it rides that balance. You know, the script has that balance that like a Sorkin script tends to around those things. And yeah, so it is very, very funny. It has a moment or two of pretty serious drama in it. And the overall thing that it is talking about, I mean, there's a character in it, not a political figure, but a businessman that, even though the play, I think, first premiered in 1947, he could be a stand-in for Trump in a heartbeat because of both his crassness and his you know, ability to think that his income is equatable to his intellect.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are far too many people other than Trump in our society that are like that, unfortunately.
Absolutely. It's very true.
Yeah.
You're
acting in this play, is that right?
I am acting in Born Yesterday, yes. I'm playing Paul Barrel, the reporter that's in it. With Alexis Kellum-Creer as Billie Holiday. She's been on our stages a lot.
Uh-huh.
And Paul Herbert, who's another returning member of the ensemble, playing Harry Brock, the loudmouth brash scrap merchant that comes to Washington to try to influence Petal.
Yeah. Now, because it's repertory theater, are all the actors in all the shows?
No, we always try to figure out both the season and then in the casting process, get every actor into two out of the three shows. Mm-hmm. To do three would just be insane with the schedule. We'd never allow it because of that.
Yeah.
But we try just for sort of, you know, to keep the cast numbers down and to also to try to sort of, you know, overall encourage the sense of it being an ensemble project to try to see if we can get a breakdown of the plays that allows for actors to be in two out of the three shows. But then sometimes, you know, you specifically are looking for an actor for a role and they just can't commit to two shows. And if they're right for the role, we go that way.
Yeah.
But wherever possible, actors are in two out of the three shows, and certainly a handful are this year.
Now, Michael Healy is someone who is rather prolific in this country.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of his plays and have enjoyed his work, his political stuff especially, because I'm a political junkie.
Yeah,
is The Drawer Boy anything like that, or
it's certainly not political in anything to do with government or anything like that. I mean, I guess all storytelling could be argued to be political on some level.
Yeah.
But no, this is just really. So in the 70s, there was a project that ultimately created a play called The Farm Show. And what that was that it was a project where actors were sent out to rural Ontario and kind of billeted in the community with farmers, and the idea was that they were gonna, you know, learn things from the farmers, learn stories, and then, you know, spin those stories into a dramatic narrative to tell the story of rural farm life, and that was what ultimately produced this series of sort of vignettes called The Farm Show, which we're doing is like one of our brunch readings. We're gonna, pardon me, do snippets of that as our brunch reading prior to our matinee of The Drawer Boy, just to give a little bit of context. But The Drawer Boy itself really is creating a fictional story around that idea. So you've got a young actor named Miles who's billeted with two farmers that are friends and that live together, Angus and Morgan. And Angus is very obviously, he's got some developmental issues. Well, actually, sorry, that's inaccurate. Not developmental issues. At some point, he was brain damaged prior to the narrative of the play. Mm-hmm. And Morgan looks after him and, you know, tells him stories and things, and Miles, being the billeted actor with them, starts to pick up on some of these, and, you know, it really is an exploration of, in such situations, like when art and reality meet, like who owns the story, and who has the right to tell that story, if at all, and so it too is just hilarious in places, but it does also have this nice little, you know, nugget of thought for us to consider about the limits of art in terms of personal ownership of stories and things like that.
Right, and again, another great playwright in this country.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He gets produced a lot, but you know, has this great variety, I guess, in the subjects that he tackles.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the next thing that if he hasn't published it yet, he will be soon, because I think he's done it for Stratford, Ontario, is an update. Not an update. I think it's still set in the 20s, but he's doing a redraft of the front page, the Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur play,
right?
Which is about journalism and politics, and it I think in many respects is the one of the funniest comedies ever made. And it'll be very interesting to see what he does in his draft of it, because it's a play that I love quite a bit. But I think there are some respects, partly down to some of the racial epithets used in the play, that it hasn't aged well.
Sure.
Though I would argue it's, you know, an accurate depiction of the era and location it's in. But yeah, I mean, to see and hear what Healy's done with that's going to be great.
The you mentioned Superior Donuts a moment ago by Tracy Letts. We all know August Osage County, of course, and I saw that on the stage, I think, and then of course the film. But the other way that I know Letts is his work as an actor.
He's a great actor.
Yeah, even in that otherwise awful show, Divorce, by the Sarah Jessica Parker show. He's one of the great standouts in that cast. So I'm wondering, as because he has done acting, he is an actor. What's he like to perform?
Well, I couldn't tell you that, but I can certainly relate the experience that a lot of the actors have been telling me. Of course, I'm not directing that one; I'm not in it. Which is the, I guess, for lack of a better use of word, like the mnemonic of memorizing his text seems to be very quick. Like there's just a logical flow, some of the actors I've been talking to have just said that it's, you know, we're not that far into rehearsals, and yet they're already able to barely look at the script in places because the lines are starting to sink in that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that, yeah, the both experiences that he's had as a playwright and as an actor, I think, would inform each.
Oh, I think work, so. And then notably, I think they only, in the last 5-6 years, officially dubbed him a member of the Steppenwolf Ensemble in Chicago, but he's acted with them for, I think, close to 20, and then obviously they've tended to get his they tended to also get as premieres.
Yeah.
You know, they premiered August Osage County. They premiered Superior Donuts, you know.
Yeah. Well, what's Superior Donuts about?
Well, Superior Donuts is about a guy that is pushing up, getting closer to 60. His name's Arthur Shepershetsky. And he runs a donut shop that he inherited from his family, and his family had been running it for 60 years. And not exactly what he pictured for his destiny in life. And he's basically going through the motions for a variety of reasons that I don't want to give away spoilers, because they all get revealed in the play. But he's kind of going through life like a little bit of a ghost. He does put pride into the donuts and everything like that, but the shop has certainly seen better days. And it's also in a neighborhood that we can glean from the script and from what other characters are saying that it's getting gentrified rather quickly.
Mm.
He's getting sort of very tempting offers to sell out for this block that he's on. And into his life comes this African-American and his mid-20s, looking for work, and quite an ambitious young fellow who is also a budding writer. And something about the relationship just starts to really cause Arthur to snap out of his doldrums and stop being kind of a somnambulist and start to take a more proactive role in his own life and the lives of the others around his shop. It's about that and deals with their friendship as well as like the things about the politics we're currently in and also the gentrification of the neighborhood. But a very funny play.
Yeah, and again, relatable to even here, right?
Well, yeah, it was funny because the gentrification thing didn't even occur to me, and that was something that during our discussions on the executive was, Alan Brody was very quick to point out that it even had that nice sort of nod to things we're going through here with, neighborhoods kind of getting at least, if not destroyed, removed of considerable character by developments that have gone in and things like that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The core group of the audience year after year.
Yeah.
That's been very strong, hasn't it?
Oh, it has. It has. Yeah.
And then,
it's one of the good things about having Jericho as our home, apart from the country feeling out there as well, even though it's in close proximity to the city. It's just that our core audience is definitely made up of people for whom theater is definitely a part of their life in terms of enjoying being in an audience and just seeing and appreciating theater. And that's allowed us to grow, and try to reach out to the people that don't necessarily immediately fit into that and see what they think of the experience as well.
Yeah, it's a great part of the city to go to.
Yeah.
We all make our way there during the summer. Why not make our way there for theater, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. What, the venue itself, Jericho Art Center, what's that like to perform in and to work in whether you're an actor or director or in this case a producer?
Well,
it's
an interesting venue. It was an RAFC hall, never intended to be a permanent, structure. It was strictly for the war. While they trained people, at what's now the Jericho Sailing Club, but was an RAFC installation. And in fact, the hostel, the youth hostel next to the Jericho Art Center, used to be the barracks.
Right.
But it's not without its history. It's obviously not until the last 25 or so years it hasn't been a theatrical history, but it's they've just done a great job of converting the space into a theater space and a shiftable one too, where potentially you can see different shows in different configurations. That it allows us as producers to suit the staging to the play, which isn't always the case. Often you have to go into a venue and it's like, well, this probably would have been better suited in this style of staging, but this is the venue we're renting. But at Jericho, you for the most part, can reconfigure that space into what serves the text. Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's always, like any facility, there's needs for improvement and infrastructure and things like that. But it's a wonderful space to perform in, and ensembles continue to evolve in that space. It's something we're hoping for and seems very likely. And we're also hoping that we can be a part of working with the Friends of the Jericho Arts Center to run the building and United Players to see some of those improvements that might be needed that I was mentioning happen.
Yeah. Now, the I was looking at the prices. Tickets start at $25, but a festival pass is $88, and so that gets you into all three shows.
Yeah,
is that right?
Actually, I believe I'm right in saying that tickets are $30 and $35.
I see.
And then yes, the festival pass. We have two passes this year. We have one that's the festival pass and then the super pass. The festival pass is $75 before service charges.
Uh-huh.
And that saves you over $30 because that gets you into all three of our main stage shows, The Drawer Boy, Born Yesterday, and Superior Donuts, but also into the brunch readings that precede the matinees for each of those three shows that delve a little bit more into either the themes, the authors, or just essays that thematically link to the plays that people are about to see. So for the Drawer Boy, as I said, we're going to do some of the farm show context of where the fiction begins and the actual narrative. The reality begins and the fiction takes over. And then Born Yesterday, we're going to be doing staged readings of some of Garson Cannon's essays about what it was like working and thriving in Hollywood in its heyday in the 40s and 50s. And then Superior Donuts, this is more of a thematic link to the matter. For that brunch, we're doing a reading of The Pawnbroker. Because they do share some DNA.
Yeah.
And Pawnbroker is obviously a much darker story.
Yeah.
But Edward Louis Wallant's Pawnbroker is just it really does evoke some of what Spirit Donut's about. So that's what you get with the regular again, $75 before service charges festival pass. But then the super pass, that's $125.
Uh-huh.
And it has everything that the regular pass has in it, as well as a one-man show that I will be doing on August 11th as a fundraiser for the company. And it's a one-man show that's kind of about an hour and 20-minute survey of Oscar Wilde's life, and it's called The Importance of Being Oscar. And because that's a fundraiser, tickets for that on its own are going for $75. But we made a super pass that for $125 gets you that plus everything the regular pass has in it. And as I said, that's about a $70 savings.
That's a bargain, isn't it?
Well, we're hoping people see it that way.
Right, yeah.
It's always ticket pricing, both to cover costs and production expenses and to still be appealing to patrons. It's always a little bit of alchemy there.
Yeah.
We're hoping that it's seen that way. Yeah.
Yeah, and folks can get information for all this, of course, at your website, ensembletheatercompany.ca. Tarek, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Break
you
a leg,
too,
as they say, and you've got a busy summer ahead of you, but just what a terrific list of events and programs for the theater goer in this town. All the best.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. You too.
Visit ensembletheatercompany.ca for tickets and information for these three plays, The Drawer Boy, Born Yesterday, and Superior Donuts. EnsembleTheatreCompany.ca. Tarek Leslie, join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.